Today's sermon text is from Romans chapter 16, verse 1, excuse me, 1 through 16. You can find that on page 894 of your ESV Pew Bible. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. I'm reading this morning because I did not want to make anybody else do it. And so you're going to have to, excuse me, love me and give me patience as I work through these names. And believe it or not, I've practiced. Hear the word of the Lord. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelitus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patropas, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. As we read these names in your holy word, that your Holy Spirit saw fit that they would be named as workers in the Lord. We hear their name and we lift our eyes to you in the name of the Lord. Father, I believe you, when you say, if you sow, you will reap. So I ask, Lord God, that you would help us this morning to sow. From Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, that we would sow this morning and believe that we would reap. Would you protect us from the evil one who would cause all kinds of havoc and problems for us. That you would be exalted this morning by the way you are tender and merciful and gracious and good to us. Help us, Father. We cannot do this on our own. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, first thing. Actually, first thing, Dale, could I get a cup of water? I got like a catch or something I can't get rid of. Thank you. So the second first thing is Verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay, that's not going to be part of the application this morning. If you're already wondering, if you're like me and you've always wondered that, you're like, what in the world? It was a cultural thing. And some cultures still do that, right? You show up, you see it in movies, and you see it if you travel. People kiss one another on their beards or on their cheek or foreheads or different things. And that's the way they say, I love you and hello to multiple people. And so that's where that is. We're not going to greet each other with a holy kiss after the end of the service. So I just want to get that out of the way. I want you to notice in introduction how this letter is laid out. Paul, who is writing to the Christians in Rome, and this one letter that he has worked diligently on and is inspired by the Holy Spirit, is going to multiple churches in this city of about 1 million people. They're a very small minority, but they're scattered throughout this city. And as we saw, some meet in this house and some here and even some believers in the household of Caesar. But it's going to many of them. Thank you very much. It's going around this city, and he expects that they would pass it around and they would read it. Okay? So he's written this letter to them. It appears that Phoebe and a group with her is carrying this letter to Rome. And so in that first verse, we see that he says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. So she's bringing it. And all the others are Christians there in Rome that he has met, and they've traveled to Rome, and they used to live somewhere else, and now they're in the epicenter. That Rome was the center of the earth then. Everything was revolved around Rome. If you've ever heard, kids, the phrase, all roads lead to Rome, it was from this time in history. Everything was happening there. And so some went there as missionaries, some went for trade, some had came from Rome and believed in another city like Corinth or Ephesus and then went back home. That's the way God works. That's the way God has moved his church around the globe, is people moving and traveling. And we think that people never traveled. Well, they traveled a lot more than we imagine in our mind. So Paul knew many of these people, or he knew of the others, and they had a reputation. So I've struggled with this. I told David 2 weeks ago, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with these 16 verses of greetings. I mean, you heard it. I'm not going to repeat those names, for one. But it's just greet this person, greet that person. So what I plan to do is just look at a broad overview of what should we take away from this being in the Holy Scriptures at the end of a letter from Paul to these Christians, to the church that called out in Rome. So I came up with four things that I think we should notice is in here. The first thing I think we should notice that comes up over and over and over in this greeting is the love and affection and honor throughout it. So I'm going to be repeating some of these verses, and we're just going to look at these four things in these verses. But the first thing I want you to notice, in verse 5, we see that greet my beloved Epaphras. I guess I am going to have to say these names over and over, but I'll just try. Notice he is beloved. So there's affection behind that. Verse 8, we see that Implius is beloved in the Lord. In verse 9, we see that Stachys is my beloved. In verse 12, Persis is the beloved. And this kiss, this holy kiss, is affection with love behind it. So it's not the same thing as a handshake, the way we would greet one another, but more like the way we would greet one another with a hug. That we would come in here and men hug one another, women hug one another, right? That this greeting, there's affections in that. Now, I might walk into a store or might greet a person that's came out to the house to meet me to do something and shake their hand right off. So it's not that this holy kiss isn't that, because there's affection for that. Right? I don't have affection for the fertilizer salesman. But if my brother shows up, I might hug him. Right? And so this holy kiss goes along with all the beloved that you see in there. There is love in this letter. So now think about all the things we've read in this letter, all the things we've learned, and we need to see here at the end that it is fueled by love and affection for these believers in Rome. That was the first thing that jumped out to me, is the affection. The second thing is the deeds that he mentions for these people. When he gives their names, he shares what they have done, the works that they have done. So we see in verse 2, the works of Phoebe. At the very end of the verse, she has been a patron or a helper of many and of myself as well, probably financially helping people. This is the Phoebe that you read about in the book of Acts. She's a servant there in the church. We see in verse 3 that these deeds of Aquila and Priscilla is fellow workers. Their deeds are works. And what did they do in verse 4? They risk their necks for life. Notice that. Who risked their necks for my life, Paul says. Meaning, they put themselves forward as an opportunity to be killed to save Paul. They risked their own life, their own death, so that Paul might live. They risk their life for his neck. Verse 5, they host a church in their house. Greet the church that is in their house. These are their works. So we see that they're helpers, they're patrons. They risk their workers. They're hospitable. They allow people into their house and a church gathers there. We see that Mary works hard in verse 9. In verse 9, Urbanus is a worker. In verse 12, we see workers again. And it's these, they think twins, Tryphena and Tryphosa. We see also that Persis worked hard in the Lord. Notice he just keeps saying that over and over. They work hard. Rufus and his mother, who was a mother to me as well. So some point, and some people think that this Rufus is the son of Simon of Cyrene that carried the cross for Christ, and that his mother was an early believer, and that she helped take care of Paul at some point. So we see that they're helping, they're workers, they're risk takers for others, they're hospitable, and then they work, and they take care of others like a mother would. These are the deeds of the saints. These are the things that Paul points at that are commendable for the saints that he loves. They work hard, they're hospitable, they take risks, they help others even as a mother would. So Christians love by caring for others to the point of risk and find many ways to work hard and serve the church. You know, when I think about the first point that we notice is love, I'm reminded that Jesus says, they're going to know you by the way you love one another. And then when you tie it to this point of their deeds, their works, I'm reminded in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, where he says that they're a body with many members, and they don't have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So this love and these works, these gifts, go together in the body of Christ. The next thing I notice is the titles he gives them. The titles say something about them as well, along with what they do. He calls Phoebe a servant of the church. That word is deacon, and there's debate on whether she was an official deacon or if it's just a generic use of the word deacon that just means servant there. But she served the church in Centuria. We see in verse 5, a title he gives to one beloved Epaphras was the first convert to Christ in Asia. When he went to Asia and he preached, there was one person that believed before everybody else, and Paul never forgets it. And that's how he introduces his friend. That's how he remembers him as the first. That's the title on him. If he was had a smartphone and he went into contacts, he would have his name and company. First convert in Asia. That's who this guy is. We see the title in verse 7 of kinsman and fellow prisoner. We see that people were close in his heart like a brother and that suffered with him in prison. So what I get picturing in my mind as Paul's thinking about the people that he's writing to is like you was sitting around a campfire and you was telling someone about all the people you know. And so this guy here that you're going to meet, he was the first one ever believed when I preached in Asia. These two over here, they went to jail with me in Ephesus and they suffered there. In verse 9, they are fellow workers in Christ. In verse 10, they are approved in Christ. That this Apelles had lived such a life that Paul was able to tell the people, Christ approves of him. That sounds so small. Have you ever used that to describe somebody? That you are so confident about what they've done in the Lord, what God has done through them, that when you mention, they say, Christ approves of this. Christ approves of this. That's a title. Christ approved. Again, in verse 11, we see kinsmen. In verse 13, we see chosen or elect in the Lord. This Rufus, who was probably young, if it was his dad that carried the cross of our Lord and Savior, Paul points out that he was chosen for that task. That he was chosen to be a child of God. In verse 14, we see again brothers. In verse 15, we see saints or holy ones is what that means. If you wonder what the word saint means, it means holy ones. So when the saints gathered, it's the holy ones, not because of how we lived this week, but because we gather in the holy name of the holy God. And so we're saints. So they're servants, the first convert, kinsman, fellow prisoner, well known to the apostles, early disciples, co-workers, approved, kinsmen, chosen, brothers, and saints. There are many titles that Paul gives these different people, one particular for each person. I'm minded of the text in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, when it says, for a whole year they met with a church in Antioch. They taught a great many people, and in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. You may be many things. You may be an electrician. You may be a tax consultant. You may be a superintendent or a DMV worker. You might be a farmer or a truck driver. You might be a surgeon. You might be president or king. But there is no greater title than Christian. There is nothing that you can reach in title that is trumped by Christian, Christ follower. Which leads me to the next thing I noticed. Point number 4 is this text is Christ-centric. Look at all of these sayings. He asks in verse 2 that they welcome Phoebe in the Lord. In verse 3, Aquila and Priscilla were fellow workers in Christ Jesus. In verse 5, he was converted to Christ in Asia. In verse 7, they were in Christ before me. In verse 8, he is beloved in the Lord. Verse 9, Urbanus was a fellow worker in Christ. Apelles is approved in Christ. In verse 11, he says, greet those in the Lord who belong to this family. In verse 12, again, workers in the Lord and Persis who worked hard in the Lord. And Rufus is chosen in the Lord. And when he says to greet one another with a holy kiss, he says, greet all the churches of Christ, greet you. That this greeting, this commendation, these titles and these deeds are summed up, find their pinnacle in, that they're done in the Lord, for the Lord, by the Lord. That once again, here at the end of this letter, Paul is pointing to what's important. Working in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Living in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. Greeting in the Lord. Because it's not good to be a hard worker only. Being a hard worker isn't the goal. It's being a hard worker in the Lord. Being hospitable isn't a goal unless you're hospitable in the Lord. Being approved means nothing unless you're approved in Christ. I'm reminded of the text from 1 Corinthians 15, 58, when he's encouraging them not to give up, to be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Can you fathom that you can study hard in school, that you can go to the top universities in the world, that you can build a corporation that overtakes the industry like Microsoft? You can become a multi-billionaire and literally change history and all your work be in vain. All of it for Bill Gates is vain. And all over this planet, in every single century, has been some poor man, some poor woman raising a poor kid, planting a garden, gathering with the saints one day a week, telling them, teaching them Jesus loves me, this I know, reading the Bible to them, helping them encourage in the Lord to not give up. And their reward will be great in heaven. He will say to them, who we've never heard of untold numbers, welcome in to the joy of your master. To what I have prepared for you. Don't give up. Always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. So that's the four things I took away from this text. That he loves these people. He notices the work that they did. They have done and that they do. He gives them titles. He wants them to be known for particular things. And that he focuses it on Jesus Christ. So, God in Paul. See, Romans wasn't written by Paul. Romans was written by God. And he used Paul. He spoke through Paul. We're not preaching this because Paul wrote it. We're preaching this because the Holy Spirit of the Holy God spoke through Paul. So God in Paul strategically wanted the Christians in Rome and the Christians in fellowship to know and be thankful for all that God is doing and has done and will do through them as a whole group of Christians for His glory and they're good. This is holy writ. This is scripture from the throne of God. Greet Rufus, beloved of the Lord, and his mom, who treated me like her own son at some point. That was spoken from God for us to hear. I think maybe we should take it serious. I think we should take serious how we look at one another. I think we should take it seriously how we speak about one another, how we view one another, how we want others to view one another. Because Paul wasn't writing that just for Rufus to hear that he was chosen in the Lord. He wanted the whole church in Rome to know that Rufus was chosen in the Lord. And there's no doubt about that. And that his mom was a good Christian woman who helped take care of him in his time of need. And he wanted us to know it. So in way of application, I think we should do the same thing for fellow Christians. I think we should take away this greeting that came from the heart of God through Paul. And think, how can I change how I speak about and to fellow believers, especially those in our covenant community here at Fellowship? So here's what I would say you should do. Stay focused on Christ. Stay focused on Christ. I get eat up with all kinds of things about this world. And the things that help me the most is when you all remind me of Christ, when you point me towards Christ, when we do our work in the Lord, when we pray in the Lord for our prodigals, when our Sunday school is focused on teaching the Lord, when our kids are learning scriptures, that we have to stay focused. I was speaking with Dale this morning about the state of our culture. And I was reminded how you can be completely lazy and do nothing and get it. I guess I've got weeds in my field, by the way. That's why all these farming things, I guess. You can do nothing and grow weeds. You can do nothing and grow the worst possible thing. It is extremely hard work to have a good, productive garden. The people that have good, productive, fruitful gardens work hard. Early in the morning, in the heat of the day, and late at night. It is hard work. And the lazy man has a weedy garden. He can do nothing and grow weeds. So we have to work hard in the Lord, even when it's risky. We need to be thinking like Paul, like I want to swing by Rome and visit you, but I'm on my way to Spain. Dear Fellowship family, we need to be thinking about things outside of here. Where are these children going to go? If our goal is for them to go to Microsoft and work for them for no reason but to climb some ladder and that work be in vain, we're not thinking right. If they go to Microsoft because Microsoft has an office in Beijing, China, and they can be a part of a church, praise be to God. Figure out all that smart computer stuff and get in, go as high as you can in Microsoft. Create a new one. That's not the problem. The problem is, why? We need to work hard and we need to take risk. And sometimes that risk is just being seen as part of Fellowship Baptist Church. You need to serve. We need to serve others radically. We need to be so... David and I was speaking, the happiest people we know are the most selfless people we know. The happiest people we know are the most selfless. They get their joy and their kicks from serving other people radically through the power of the Spirit. They just enjoy it. And they don't go home worried about how they didn't get nothing out of that. And then we wonder, why can't I be happy? Because I want to serve me. And God has ordained for the saint that there is no joy in serving you. Joy is in serving others. And we need to serve radically. We need to take risk for the sake of others. We need to work hard. We need to be radically hospitable. We need to serve one another. And then we need to commend others radically. Have you thought about introducing, or when somebody says, do you go to church with so-and-so? You say, do you hang your head and say, yeah, they go there? Or do you say, yeah, I know them. I know them from there. Or yeah, they this or that. What if you had a time, yes, they were the first convert in my Sunday school class. Yes, I know them. They're chosen in the Lord, and their mommy was good to me when I needed help. Yes, I know them. I was there the day they were baptized. The person might be asking for some business thing, but if you just had a title, if you just looked around this church and you put a title to the people and name the works that they did, that the tax man comes and says, hey, do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I was there the day they were baptized. I was the day they got married in the Lord. I was there. I've been watching them work in youth hard for 20 years. Yeah, I know them. I just want their phone number. Well, they're more than a phone number to me. I want to encourage you to think about this covenant community here. Think about your brothers and sisters in Christ that we've all gone through the waters together. And find ways to commend them first in your heart and in your mind of how would you introduce these people? How would you introduce your brothers and sisters in Christ to another church that you know somewhere, to your co-workers, or to your family? I think it should look like this. I think it should look like this. For that to be possible, I'm reminded of what Paul Washer said once, and I'm sure by now you've heard me say it. But it was real meaningful to me. I was much younger then, and so I really resonated with Timothy being a young preacher. And Paul quoted Paul, and he says, you know the text, don't let them despise you for your youth. He says the best way to do that is to not be despicable. Don't be despicable, and they won't be able to despise you. So one of the ways in which we can greet one another and commend one another and build up this flavor, this fragrance of love that I've been talking about this morning is live a life that he says in verse 2, notice that, welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. There's a way to live that is worthy of being called a saint. And there is a way that a saint is worthy to be welcomed. And we need to be concerned about both of those. We should live such a life in this community of faith here at Fellowship Baptist Church and in our families and in our communities that they can't help but say, they're the happiest person I know. And they get all their joy from serving other people. They're very hospitable. They're very hard worker in the Lord, and Christ approves of them. If we want the title, approved in Christ, we should focus on His approval. We should gaze up at Him and see what He thinks of us. And we should look at others the way He looks at them. So I want to encourage you this morning, Fellowship Baptist Church, that this part of Romans that I guarantee I'm not the only one in here that just reads these greetings and moves on, that there's something we can learn from. Let this be a lesson. Every verse in your Bible is profitable for you to learn something from. Every single verse. And I've experienced in studying and preaching and thinking about this text that even this greeting at the end of Romans is. And it makes me want to work harder. It makes me want to love more, serve more. And it makes me want to pay attention more that I could commend each and every one of you to a complete stranger in a way that would fill your hearts with love and joy in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You've been faithful. I thank You that You've been faithful to Your saints. Since the fall in the garden, You have never forsaken Your saints. when they were tied to an altar with their own dad's knife above them, you did not leave them nor forsake them. When they were 400 years in slavery, commanded to cast their children into the river, you did not leave them and you did not forsake them. When they rebelled against your kindness and they traded the gold of the sanctuary for idols of Baal and Ashtoreth and Molech, you kept a remnant and you did not forsake your people. And when we fled in the garden and your son died alone, bearing our sins, you were faithful to us. And as I read about these saints, you were faithful. Father, I ask that you would imprint two things on the minds of Fellowship Baptist Church and in our hearts this morning. That you are faithful and you will never leave us nor forsake us. And number two, that we are an us. We're a body of Christ, many members. And we're not alone in this room. And what we do makes a difference, whether good or bad, in the lives of these other covenant members. And that as a whole, you will not never leave us nor forsake us. So would you please bring glory to your holy name by keeping Fellowship Baptist Church to the end and prepare us, make us holy and spotless for that day when you will return. In Jesus' name, amen.